Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of Revelation chapter 14, we were talking about the mighty voice in Revelation 14:2 and the power that it represents to man. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Now, this is Jewish terminology. It refers back to chapter 7, verses 4 through 8, in which they are sealed in their foreheads. Here, we are told, it is simply the name of their heavenly Father. And we're told that 12,000 out of each tribe are sealed. Now, these are not a chosen few, as the Jehovah false witnesses proclaim. The tribes are listed in chapter 7 from which they come, and they are 12,000 out of each tribe. The seal is a promise of taking them through the entire tribulation without dying. But the truth of the matter is, they will be persecuted, and they'll suffer many things. Well, we praise God. The text says they are now with Him. They're not going to be persecuted anymore. They're not going to suffer many things anymore. So that also tells us then, this is looking at a time after the tribulation. And they've been caught up to be with the Lord. Then verse 2 tells us of the mighty voice from heaven. Let me read that again in Revelation chapter 14. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. Now, verse 2 tells us of the mighty voice from heaven. We're reminded of Psalms 29. And I want you to listen as I read Psalms 29, and you could even follow along in your Bible if you have it there handy with you. And think about what the power of this voice represents to man. It says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name." By the way, I think if there was ever an impossible command to keep, that would be it. Giving God the glory that's due Him. We have never fulfilled that. I don't believe ever. But it says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Now, let me also stop there. The beauty of holiness is not a relative term. And by that, I mean, what holiness is to you may be something to someone else. No, holiness is what God says holiness is. It's absolute purity. It's absolute reverence for Him. It is in no way flippant. I'm tired of our churches that we see on television and in the communities that have become entertainment centers, looking like cheap imitations of the singers in the nightclubs and on the circuits of the rock music tours, and preachers who are more interested in emulating the psychiatrist of the day and the psychologist of the day than they are emulating Christ. And the old preachers is Paul and Peter and others who preached the Word of God. But I digress, so I better continue here with verse 3. The voice of the Lord, and this is where I want you to hone in on the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The voice shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calve, and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. The Lord sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. And this one spoken of the Lord in the psalm, Jesus Christ taught it to his disciples, according to Luke chapter 24. They speak of him. This is him. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp two-edged sword. And with that two-edged sword, he will use it to destroy the armies of the earth. But he'll use that two-edged sword as he judges man. It is the power of this voice that I, as a Christian, a preacher of the word, a servant of the Lord, the power of that voice is the voice that I want manifested in me and through me. And when you pray for this preacher, pray that it will be indeed the voice of the Lord that speaks in me and through me. My voice is nothing. Nothing to be desired, but the voice of the Lord. That voice is power. That voice gives life. That voice is the voice of the King of Kings. You see, I want this voice of the God speaking in me, not to glorify me. Again, this is the psalm of the voice of the Lord. Remember always from whom the power comes. I am on a blacklist. It's called the Repentance Blacklist, and I believe it's repentanceblacklist.com. That might not be exactly right, but I think that that's the website. And that blacklist has two lists on it. It has big name preachers and no name preachers. And the idea is that these are men that preach repentance. They call repentance a work salvation. So instead of easy believism, we're preaching repentance and faith. And so they think that that is a terrible thing to preach what Jesus and the apostles preached. And so therefore, we are blacklisted in the sense that, well, people should not listen to them. Now, if you look on there, you'll see I'm a no-name preacher on the repentance blacklist. And I like that. I really do, because it's not about my name, and I don't want it to be about my name. I want it to be about Jesus. We preach Jesus and Him crucified. We preach Jesus, the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, looking again at verse 2, the voice of the Lord is power. Yet, we see harpers harping, which speaks of peace. As David playing his harp before Saul when the evil spirit would trouble Saul. And as David would play, the evil spirit would leave Saul, and he'd once again have peace. And there was peace through strength, the strength of godly music. And then verse 3 said here in Revelation 14, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth. The voice in verse 2 is singular, telling us it is the voice of God. Not all the saints or all the angels, but it's the voice of God alone. However, in verse 3, we see they sung, and that is plural, implying the 144,000 are now singing, and we're told that no man could learn. Now, that phrase, no man could learn, may have the idea of no man could understand. And the Greek word in that passage is sometimes so used. It may have to do with that no man could appreciate what they sung because the experience of this 144,000 is so unique. It's also interesting that the statement is made that they were redeemed from the earth. Now, that leads me to a few thoughts here. The lamb is used in verse 1 and then twice in verse 4. I believe we see that he, being our sacrifice, is reminding us of redemption comes only through his blood. I believe that in heaven, the fact that Revelation refers to him so often as the Lamb, heaven will find that its inhabitants will always find special and favorable, rejoicing, and full of love, the memory of the Lamb who shed his blood for our sins and rose up from the dead. Another thing we see, that Jews are saved the same way we are. You see, redemption is through his blood. It is through his name. There will be no one in heaven but by the grace of God. And that grace is through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Old Testament saint looked forward to what God was going to do for them. Today, we look back to the cross for our salvation as they look forward. Perhaps one can see that the word from is the Greek word apo, meaning out of. Instead of being killed by the Antichrist and his cohorts, this 144,000 are taken out of the world. A rapture, if you will. And it may be at the beginning of Armageddon. Now, it's so funny. I had people get in my face and tell me, you can't find rapture in the Bible. And usually the ones that say that are the ones who don't believe in a pre-tribulational rapture. And so since the word rapture is not in there, they say it's not in there. Therefore, it's not the doctrine that you're preaching it is. And so they make their statements. Of course, if you wanted to find that out, you could go back to our 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 study at our website and find that. And it would be a help to you, I believe. And it could be a great help to thee. But nonetheless, I find that when people say the word rapture does not appear in the Bible.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.